And we will move on to the fourth case for this morning, Illinois Investment Trust against American Grading, In Re Resource Technology Corporation. Ms. McManus.
Colleen McManus for the appellant. Runners, we came into this case partway through the briefing before this court, and we'd like to limit our discussion, I think we did in the briefs, to the two issues on which we believe we should prevail. The first is the interpretation of the advance royalty provision, and the second is the denial of access, which we believe in effect was constructive eviction. As to the first issue, the advance royalty deposit, the bankruptcy court actually entered an order interpreting this provision of the 1995 agreement and provided that the royalties due under the agreement of the particular year in which the $100,000 advance deposit was due would determine whether they were carried over and deemed credited to the advance payment. And our position with respect to this interpretation by the bankruptcy court is that the payment due on January 1st of 2006, in fact, was due. There's no dispute, and it wasn't made. But during the course of 2006, no royalties were earned, no money was made. So at the end of the year, there was no material breach because nothing would have been due.
I know. I saw that that was your argument, but I think it rests in part on a misunderstanding of what the bankruptcy judge was trying to say. And secondly, if we interpret it a different way, it's a very bootstrappy kind of argument. If $50,000 of the 2005 royalty payment could be carried over to 2006, you only would have had to pay another $50,000 to bring the level back up to 100, but the contract called for an upfront payment of royalties so that perhaps there would be incentives to perform for whatever reason. The structure of the contract was that of an upfront payment. And think of the incentives if it were the other way around. If you could just not pay the $100,000 on January 1st and then just sit in your hands all year and say, oh, no royalties earned, we don't have to pay anything after all now, there would be a real moral hazard there. So I just don't think that works. But before you respond to that, I also wanted to ask you how you think your two arguments relate to one another, because it seemed to me if this contract could be terminated because the advance royalties weren't paid, it doesn't really matter whether you win or lose on the denial of access point.
Well,
if the advance royalty is just a standalone obligation.
I think they're related in the following way. If throughout 2006 there was a denial of access, as we believe there was, one of our witnesses at trial testified that approximately, give or take, the company could have made $50,000 a month in selling the gas. 50,000 times the 10 months that we believe access was denied would be $500,000. Under our argument, which is that the particular year that the payment was due, in other words, the rest of 2006 after January 1st, we would have an offset of $500,000.
But you still didn't make the payment on January. I don't see how that has anything to do with your failure to make the payment on January 1st when it was due.
Because there would be an offset, Your Honor.
Well, but not. I just don't see that. I mean, if you've got an obligation to pay and you concededly never paid, they didn't have the money for the year, they couldn't invest it, otherwise they couldn't have done other things, and I don't see a counterclaim for these monies in this record.
Well, we have separate litigation outside of this court that we're pursuing against American Grading, which I won't get into now. I don't think it's appropriate, unless Your Honors want me to.
No.
Well, I would be curious at least one thing. This began, when did this contract begin?
1995.
So we've got several years, I assume, of successful operation.
I can't talk about what happened before the bankruptcy, in other words, between 1995 and the 1999 bankruptcy. I can't talk about the operations in that time period. But then we had a bankruptcy in 1999 that intervened in the 10-year period of the contract, obviously.
I mean, for obvious reasons, I'm just curious, can they make $500,000? Is this $100,000 not onerous? That may be a basis for, I mean, it may make a lot of sense. Obviously, if they do nothing, someone else could have generated $500,000, and so the owner of the landfill is deprived. So there's reasons for this kind of a contract. I'm just curious about the history. If you don't know it and it's not relevant, okay.
Your Honor, all I can say is that certainly I can't argue that the trustee should not have made the $100,000 advance royalty payment. The position we take is our client was the proposed assignee of the contract. We were prepared to go forward with the contract. We were prepared to go out to the site, do the work we needed to do. Our witness for IIT, that is, testified at trial that based on, and he was the former president of RTC, I should add, so he had this experience and knowledge of operations. He testified that, again, give or take, he thought they could make $50,000 a month at the site in 2006.
But, you know, the thing that's a little strange about that is, as you pointed out, this contract is entered into December 27, 1995. It's not until 2002, as I read this record, that the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency issues permits for this landfill. I don't know. I mean, it does seem to me odd. Now, in terms of the access, I had one point that I wanted to raise about that. The trustee discovers that the locks have been changed in December 2005.
Yes.
And then they're changed back again. So he gets the keys on January 5th, 2006. And then 2 weeks later, AGC requests him to return the keys. He doesn't return the keys, but he also doesn't enter the premises. Now, because this is all under the jurisdiction of the bankruptcy court by this time, it didn't strike me as such an odd thing to say that had the trustee really felt that he needed to enter, all he needed to do was go to the bankruptcy court and get an order. Bankruptcy courts issue orders in all sorts of circumstances that people not in bankruptcy don't think you need to run off to a court to get an order for. So the trustee, in fact, starts wrapping everything up, shows no interest in pursuing the contract.
Your Honor, that's a fair question, and I've practiced bankruptcy law almost exclusively for 11 years, so I know the motions that we can make and get orders granted. Your Honor, two responses to that. First of all, it doesn't seem right under contract law that you should have to make a motion, to prevent another party from breaching. If I have an apartment, I shouldn't have to knock myself down to prevent my landlord from breaching by not letting me in.
True, but so if you're in the middle of a bankruptcy and there's already a dispute, which everybody knows because of the correspondence that's been exchanged about whether this payment's been made, whether there's a termination, getting some legal certainty before you go onto somebody's land doesn't seem like such an extreme measure.
Understood. And my second argument to that, Your Honor, is that in March of 2006, so after we had this key issue, the trustee made the settlement with Chipleys and Scattered. They then designated IIT to be their assignee for the assignment, the proposed assumption and assignment of the contract. And then the denial of access continued, even for my client, who was the proposed assignee, to go to the site to attempt to do work, to attempt to show that it could perform under the contract. Then things were in play again, Your Honor, and the access continued to be denied. Even after November 2006, when Judge Weedoff said the contract has not expired, it's renewed, even after that, the trustee testified that he still tried to get our clients access. He was sort of a middleman at that point to get to the site, and access was denied. So this was all sort of a pattern by American Grading to continue to deny access so that at the end of 2006, it could say, aha, there hasn't been performance. We want to lift the stay to declare a default and move to terminate.
Okay. Well, if you other points, if you want to save a little bit for rebuttal.
I would. Thank you, Your Honor.
And turn to Ms. Lorber.
May it please the Court, my name is Sarah Lorber, and I represent the appellee American Grading Company.
So what about this denial of access? Why is American Grading locking the doors, both literally and figuratively?
Well, there were first, with regard to the change of the locks, there was testimony at trial from Mr. DeSmit, the president of American Grading, that there were people coming onto the landfill site. They had apparently broken in or maybe had keys to the existing locks. They weren't sure, but they were coming onto the site and hunting. So there was a change of locks to prevent these people from accessing the site. But once the locks were changed, Mr. DeSmit provided the trustee with a set of keys. Then, as was demonstrated in the record, there was a legitimate dispute at the end of 2005, the beginning of 2006, whether this contract expired by its own terms or whether it had been renewed by there was an attempt to renew the agreement by Mr. Connolly, RTC's former president. So that dispute sort of came to fruition in the beginning of January. The trustee did not attempt to renew the contract, and American Grading understood that the contract had terminated. It therefore...
So you're talking about this very compressed period of time between January 1, 2006, when the advance royalty is due, and January 19th, when AGC asks the trustee to return the keys?
In terms of what? I apologize.
That's when all of this is bubbling up and AGC decides that it's going to bar the trustee from the site?
Well, we requested the keys back. The trustee never provided the keys back, and there was never really, I think the testimony trial and Judge Weedoff found that there really wasn't any actual denial of access. And let me bring to light one very important point, and that is in mid-February, the trustee filed his motion to approve the settlement agreement with Chipley's and Scattered and also to abandon the operating permit for the McCook landfill. Mm-hmm. That motion was granted in March. At that point, the trustee testified repeatedly that he, as the sole representative of the estate, had absolutely no intention of operating at the McCook landfill past that point. He testified to this point repeatedly.
Now let me ask you, I mean, prior to that, the trustee had assumed these contracts, right?
That's correct.
For the benefit of the state. So you see this as an abandonment of the assumption, or what? So that this was not something that would be turned over to IIT?
Correct. Well, we believe and we argued, and that issue was not addressed by Judge Weedoff, that it was a repudiation of the contract. The law is pretty clear. If you want to move forward with a contract, you have to be prepared to perform under it. You can't say, I'm not going to perform, but I still want to enforce this against the other party.
Eventually, these assets were just sold. Is that correct?
No. What happened was the debtor's assets were sold. It's personal property. As part of the settlement with what we call the Greenblatt entities, and that's Chipley, Scattered, and Mr. Greenblatt, they also entered into what's called the designation of rights agreement, which allowed them to designate which of the estate's contracts they wanted to take assumption and assignment of. They had the right only to designate those contracts. The trustee and the proposed designee still had to satisfy the requirements of 365 of the Bankruptcy Code, which governs assumption and assignments of executory contracts.
Right.
So the issue, during this entire period of time, the assumption issue was out there. The assignment motion to assign this contract to IIT was out there. However, the estate had an obligation during this period of time to perform under the contract. It couldn't just say, we filed this assignment motion, we don't have to do anything further. That's not the law. The law is when a contract becomes an assumed obligation of the estate needs to perform. And if the estate wanted to keep this contract in play, it had to continue performing under this contract during the time that the assumption motion was pending.
I assume when nobody's performing, somebody's losing money.
Correct. The estate chose not to perform. It didn't earn any revenues at that site. And American Grading lost royalties because it was entitled to a 10% royalty on all energy sold from that landfill.
That just goes into its claim as a creditor of RTC?
That's correct. And we are litigating American Grading's damages claim right now in the bankruptcy court as a Chapter 7 administrative claim against the estate. And I think that's an important point because the appellant has argued repeatedly they didn't have to pay the advance royalty because there were no damages. No royalties came due. Why did no royalties come due? Because the estate failed to perform under the contract for all of 2006. Especially, and there could not have been any denial of access after the trustee, one, abandoned the operating permit and said, I am not performing at this site, and two, the judge in November, Judge Weedoff, resolved the extension issue. There was a trial. American Grading did not have counsel at that point, and a default judgment was entered against American Grading on the extension issue. And in November of 2006, the Judge Weedoff ruled that the agreement had been extended. The trustee did nothing past at that point to access the site, to perform under the contract, to pay the advance royalty, to perform any other obligations under the contract. Now, again, the appellant has made a big deal about the trustee's attempt to broker a deal with the proposed S&E and have them come onto our site. But that they weren't, the proposed S&E was not an agent of the estate, was not an employee of the estate. There was no order authorizing them to come on our land, and we did not want them on the land. And that's why, that's the purposes of Section 365 of the Bankruptcy Code.
Yeah, well, presumably trustees either assume or not or repudiate assumptions because they either think it will be more profitable to the estate to continue with the contract, or they think that it's really not going to be worth the candle. And so my guess is that the trustee must have simply decided that performance would be more onerous for the estate than non-performance.
Well, also, let me point out, this originally was a Chapter 11 case.
It bounces back and forth, right? It's back into Chapter 7.
Chapter 7 case. Chapter 7 generally are not operating cases.
Right.
And the issue here, and this is revealed in the trustee's motion to abandon the operating permit, was there were substantial environmental liabilities connected with these sites. The trustee did not want to be associated with them. The trustee could have been on the hook for these environmental liabilities under Section 959 of the code. So the trustee had a massive incentive to abandon these operating permits. Mm-hmm. Now, it made a deal with the Greenblatt entities. The Greenblatt entities wanted these contracts. And presumably the estate got some benefit under the settlement with the Greenblatt entities, but that's a different issue. And so if the estate wanted to keep this contract in play, if it wanted to assign this contract, it had to continue performing under it.
Well, had this operation been intact and was producing revenues?
Prior to the end of 2005, there was production at that. The landfill gas conversion system was operating at that system, and there was some sale of electricity that resulted in royalties to American Grading. The testimony at trial was that the generators that are required to operate there had both broken down by the end of 2005. All production had stopped. So, and this is another issue.
Whose responsibility was that?
That's the trustees. The generators didn't belong to American Grading. They were RTC's generators, and all of the operations there were under RTC's control. And this goes to another point, which is the appellant's assertion that they have a claim for $500,000 in set-off because they lost profits. The testimony that they cite to, Mr. Connolly's testimony, he was asked the question, if IIT was granted assignment to this motion, and IIT made all of the repairs necessary to bring the generators and the other facilities up at the site into working function, how much would how much could be generated on a going forward basis? And that's when Mr. Connolly testified about $50,000. But going forward, that was in April of 2007. There was no testimony that the site could have generated $50,000 in revenue in 2006.
Was the breakdown of the generators that caused a breach?
Yes, it was one of the breaches that we've alleged and that were in the notice of the default. And in fact, Judge Weedoff ruled on April 17th that there were additional breaches, and that was the failure to operate the landfill gas collection system, and also the failure to comply with Illinois law. So we had three breaches, not just the failure to pay the advance royalty payment. And I would like to make one quick further argument, and that is that the set-off argument that the appellant has made here today and that they made in their reply brief was not argued in the bankruptcy court, it was not argued in the district court, and it was not even argued in their opening brief before this court. Under Singleton, that argument has been forfeited. You cannot raise an argument for the first time in your reply brief before the Seventh Circuit. For all of these reasons, and the reasons stated in our response brief, we ask that this court affirm the bankruptcy court's ruling. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lorber. Anything further, Ms. McManus?
Your Honor, we move to supplement the record in this appeal to add that July 2002 order, and American Grading did not object to that. That order forms the basis of our set-off argument, so just to get that taken care of. Second, we couldn't make the repairs. Nobody could make the repairs out at the site because nobody could get access to the site. So that should take care of that issue.
Nobody could get access, did you say?
No one could get access. The trustee nor brokering attempts to get my client out to the site. That was in 2006.
Well, the thing broke down in 2005.
Correct. So in 2006, beginning in January when the keys were switched, no one was able to get access to the site.
Well, there were 2 weeks that everybody agrees they could.
And I guess I cannot argue with the 2 weeks. I'm talking about, you know, 10 or 11 months.
And he says my understanding was that they'd broken sometime back before all of these access. The locks don't get changed until December 2005, so presumably the trustee also had access prior to the time the locks were changed.
That could be possible, Your Honor. I don't know the answer to that. But I'm talking about a 10- or 11-month period where access was denied, and I think that's considerable, especially
after... You're already not working as of January 1st, 2006.
Well, and my client hadn't settled with the trustee yet, so it didn't know that it was going to become the S&E. So we couldn't have done anything in that time period, to be fair. With respect to the operating permit, Your Honor, I don't believe that that constitutes a repudiation of the contract. If we were going to be the S&E under this contract, we would have had burdens under Section 365 to cure defaults and establish assurance of future performance. And we would have done that. And we would have done that with the IEPA and any other requirements under the contract that we would need to do to step in as S&E. So I don't think that's a repudiation of the contract. I think that would have been one of our burdens, to be fair. And finally, with respect to the notice of termination, Your Honor, American Grading waited until December of 2006 to declare a default and then terminate. They only referred in their motion in limine before the bankruptcy court pretrial, they only referred to post-March 2006 defaults. So that leaves out the advance royalty payment. They had ample time to declare these defaults and terminate. And the fact that they used the time instead to deny access, I think suggests that they were attempting to forbid us from getting to the site.
Okay, thank you very much. We will take the case under advisement.